Let me say that it's an honor to get to come over here. My preacher brought me over here one time. My pastor, Brother Noah Broughton, he don't tell everybody that, but I tell everybody I know. I'm prouder of it than he is. I like coming over here. I could make it, there'd be a lot of places doing other things. They could be out to work instead of preach, you know what? A lot of the preachers work. Romans chapter 5. I won't take very long. Verse 12. Begin reading there. Bible says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is a figure of him that was to come. But not as an offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. Not so as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift for the judgment was by one to condemnation. But the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through the righteousness into eternal life by Jesus Christ, our Lord. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we come to you again, and Lord, I sure do desire, Father, that you might come and be with us and rest upon us, and the Holy Ghost of God might preach. In order that we would just be obedient to you, in order that we might not seek honor and glory, but Lord, that we would try our best, Lord, to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ and what he's done for us. And Lord, we pray, Lord, that we would be a help to someone here. Lord, we pray, God, now that you would take us and use us, Father, preach us, Lord, and for your honor and glory. I'll be careful to thank you for it all, for it's in Jesus' name and for his sake that I ask. And amen. I had read this ain't the first time I preached this text, but I was reading, studying this, and I got to counting, and I believe if I didn't miscount it 12 times in this text that the number one is read there by one man. And so I got to studying, I said, well, one must be an important number or an important word in this text if by one man. And I said, well, if 12 times, then it must be really important. And I got to seeing here in this text, and I begin to see that the Bible says it down here in the verse 15, it says, but not as an offense, so also is a free gift. I'm glad of that free gift. For through the offense of one, many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ. Now I said, well, I said, this must be something to the right one. I said, if you could get the right one out of this whole text, you'd have something that was worth having, wouldn't it? Would that be right? So I thought, well, I said, you could get the right one. Well, I studied on this, and the Lord, I just preach to tell you the way the Lord give it to me. I said, well, I said, if it's the right one, there must be the wrong one. There'd have to be the wrong one, wouldn't it? And I thought, well, I said, Way back in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 17, I said, well, Adam must have chose the wrong one. He did choose the wrong one. The Bible says over there that Eve gave to her husband and he ate also. So he chose the wrong one, didn't he? The Bible says that Eve, being a weaker vessel, that she was deceived, but Adam wasn't deceived. So Adam knew what he was full well. He was conscious of the fact that he was disobeying God, and he was by him that sin would enter into the world. I believe Adam understood that a little bit, maybe, don't you? Well, I got to study on this, and I said, well, not only did Adam choose the wrong one, I said, but then Lot chose the wrong one. If you was going to preach on directions, maybe he chose the wrong direction. And Lot chose the wrong one. You see, there in Genesis chapter 13, the Bible says over there that he looked to the well-watered plains there of Jordan, and he looked down the hill, and it must have looked green and grassy, and it must have been easier going. He said, I'm not going to fight through the rocks like Uncle Abraham. I'm going to take his herd of cattle. He said he can fight the rocks if he wants to. I'm going to go down here where the grass is green and where there's plenty of water. It'll be better for my family. It'll be better for my pocketbook. And I can live down there. But Lot chose the wrong one. I might stop there and say that we've chose the wrong one a lot of times, haven't we? We listen, our homes and our churches, we've chose the well that's, listen, let me say this, that it's easier to fight down a hill than it is up, ain't it? We've let a lot of things go, ain't we? But then I ain't going to stop there because I got to hurry. But then let me say in 2 Samuel chapter 11 that David messed with the wrong one. David messed with the wrong one. He was a king of Israel. He had all the women that he wanted. He had all the money he wanted. He had all the power he wanted. He looked over the fence and seen Bathsheba taking a bath. You can say what you want to. You can't blame it all on Bathsheba. Look here. Hey, everybody likes to take a bath, don't you? Look at the problem was that David was, he wanted what wasn't his. So David, he sent for her and lay with her, and she conceived. Look here, committed adultery, and she conceived. Look here, and the baby died. I may say that David chose the wrong one, didn't he? Can't blame it on everybody else. Then Samson and Delilah. I'll get to where I'm going here in a minute. Samson and Delilah. Samson kept fooling around. He chose the wrong one, didn't he? You know, Samson was a Nazarite. Separated as a Nazarite, wasn't he? Certain things he wasn't supposed to eat, and certain things he wasn't supposed to do. Well, he had a weak back daddy, and his daddy told him, said, he said, Daddy, I want that girl down there. And he said, oh, ain't she a woman of your own people that you could have? He said, no. He said, I want her, Dad. Well, Dad went down there and got her because to shut him up, and so he let him have it, didn't he? Ain't that right? That's what your Bible teaches? So Daddy let him have that woman that he didn't have no business with. It wasn't long till that didn't play out. Played out, so look, he got him another. And it was a history of Samson and Delilah, of Samson in his life, of messing with things that he didn't have no business. Ain't that right? He fooled with dead stuff. You know what happens to Christian people when you fool with dead stuff? It gets over on you. Ain't long till you're dead too. Ain't that right? You smell like you're dead. Let me say that it didn't take Samson long till he chose the wrong one in Delilah. And he laid his head in her lap. He fooled with her. Listen, if you go back and read that, I ain't got time because I got to hurry. But if you go back and read it, you'll find that he started out telling her a lie. He said, if you'll tie me up with six boughs of limbs that has never been touched, he said, I'll be as weak as any other man. Well, that was a lie. But then he finally told her, said, if you'll braid my hair, he started getting closer to the truth. Now, what happened was, he said, this ain't really going to affect me like I thought it was. Yeah, I can stand this, and I can, listen, I can go where that I didn't have no business, and he kept going, and he kept getting bolder and bolder and bolder, and finally, he told her the truth, didn't he? He laid his head in her lap, and he woke up, and listen, grinding in a Philistine's house, blinded. Ain't that right? Boy, you could preach there a long time. You know that? Can I give you this right here, and I'm going to go on. They passed a liquor law down there at home in Somerset, and I don't want to be mean to nobody. I didn't come over here to be mean, but they passed a liquor law over there. Well, before they passed a liquor law, all the Baptist churches in the country. It seemed like all the Baptists, the Church of God, the Holiness, the, whatever they was, if they, even a Catholic would come again, and they'd gather up and they'd have prayer meetings. We don't want little Johnny to see alcohol. We don't want little Johnny to see beer cans. And we don't want our kids around this. Well, they had prayer meetings. But what I don't understand is they voted it wet, and on a Sunday afternoon, if you go to the chicken house, you have to stand in line behind a half a dozen Baptist preachers to get in one of them places where they sell liquor. I must not be nothing wrong with it, was there? Then you wonder why little Johnny's over there looking at the beer cans. Amen. I ain't trying to be mean. I'm just telling you the truth. You see, is it a bar or is it a restaurant? I don't understand that. Do you not know the difference between a bar and a restaurant? If it sells booze, it must be a bar. Ain't that right? That went over big. Then in Proverbs chapter 1, he said, my son, if sinners entice thee, he said, consent thee not. People pretty well consent to everything, don't they? Amen. Well, let's see. Let's get to the right one. Jesus was the right one in verse 15. Let me say this first of all. He was the right one because of where he come from. Proverbs chapter 8, and verse 23 said, I was set up from everlasting. I like the fact that, listen, he said over there, he said, I was brought up forth as a son from thy youth. Hey, listen, he was with the Father in the book of Genesis. He said, when it let us make man in our image, and you know what he was? He was there with a father. I like the fact of where he was and where that he came from, don't you? You know, that there is important nowadays, ain't it? It's where you come from or who you know. I like the fact that Jesus was the right one. Matthew chapter 3, verse 17, he was the right one because he was identified by his father. He said in Matthew chapter 3, he said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Listen. Hey, you know what? Some of you listen, you got a house full of youngins, and some of the rest of you do. I never did get out in public and call someone else my dad, did you? And my dad never did get out in public and call someone else's kids his, did yours? You know what? The only way that you could be a son is if he was your father, ain't that right? Listen, he said, this is my beloved son. On the Mount of Transfiguration, he told Peter, he said, this is my beloved son. Hear ye him. Look, he identified him as his son, the Father. Amen. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 11 and 14. Jesus was the right one because he never had to have another sacrifice. The Bible says, for by his own blood that he entered in once into the holy there in heaven, and there he on the mercy seat in heaven that he applied his blood once and for all for the sins of the whole world. He was the right one. Now I'll give you these right here and I'll be done. Jesus was the right one to a man at Gadara. I like this one. He was the right one. Luke chapter 8, verses 26. You see, why was he the right one? Well, you found a man there, a naked man. Listen, not only was he naked, and may I say that nakedness is a sign of wickedness, and it's a sign of rebellion against God. Well, here was a man, the Bible says in Luke over there, that not only was he a naked man, but the Bible says that he had his dwelling in the tombs. That tells me that on a cold night, there in a bad weather, that he would push away one of those rocks and crawl in there and live with somebody's dead grandma or somebody's dead. He dwelt in the tombs, the Bible says. He spent his nights howling and cutting himself. Listen, and he was a mess. The Bible says over there that they could hear him there in the mountains of howling at night and hurting himself. Is that what your Bible says? Did you know that men had tried in every way to bind him with chains and fetters? But the Bible says over there that he had broke those chains and he was loose again. And that ain't that right to what your Bible teaches? But you know what? Listen. You know what we've done? Listen, every drug addict, dope head in the county that we have tried our best to bind them. Listen, I've got a niece that's been through drug court twice, and she'll probably go again. Ain't that right? We've bound them with $20 bills. We don't bind them. Listen, hey, everybody in here, let's pause here just a minute. It used to be that it was somebody else's family down the street that had a daughter that was going to have a baby out of wedlock. Ain't that right? Or it used to be some other cousin's family far away off that had a boy in jail because he was a drug addict. Ain't that right? It used to be that it was somebody else's family that was out here on beating up cars drunk. Ain't that right? But listen, it ain't no different over here than it is at home. Every one of you here has either got a sodomite or a drunk or a dope head or somebody shacked up or somebody in your family that is a wreck and you wouldn't want nobody to know who they are. Ain't that right? Listen, I told somebody the other day, I said, if Jerry Springer ever finds my family, he'll never have another interview as long as he lives because he can make a career out of my family and never miss a day. Listen, and your family is the same way tonight. Ain't that right? This was a man that was in a condition that I wouldn't want to talk about. Ain't that right? Ain't that right? He tried everything. Listen, I've given $20 bills on a Monday. Can I have 20? I need to get me some gas. Will you give them a $20 bill? You know what? If they had a 20, they'll put about $3 in their gas can to get them to the dope house and spend the other 18 on a bag of dope. Ain't that right? And come back tomorrow and steal your lawnmower and buy them another bag. Ain't that right? Hey, I'm telling you right. I know what I'm talking about. Listen, but what we've done is we've done everything in the world, and they've done everything that they could for this man. But I can tell you that the Lord Jesus came along and found him there. And the Bible says that when they came out to see him, that where did he find him? Clothed and seated at the feet of Jesus and in his right mind. Jesus was the right one for that man. Now, he was the right man for a man at Bethesda's pool. John chapter 5. They find a man there that lived 38 years laying there at a pool by the sheep gate. You ever been to a stockyard? Anybody know what a stockyard smells like when the south winds are blowing? Listen, this man lived at the sheep gate. Ain't that right? He lived close to the sheep gate. Ain't that right, Durbin? He wasn't like you think. Listen, he lay there at the sheep gate by the pool of Bethesda waiting for the troubling of the waters. Listen, do you know something? He couldn't have got in the water if he'd have wanted to. First of all, he was impotent. That means he couldn't walk. He couldn't have crawled in there. Listen, if anybody else would have been there, they would have got in there first. Why? Because they needed him worse than he did. Ain't that right? Jesus was the right one at the right time. 38 years. He was the right man for the woman with the issue of blood. Luke chapter 8, verse 47. Listen, you know what she done? And then I ain't got time to preach all these. I got one we'll get to here in a minute. But Luke chapter 8, you find a woman there with the issue of blood. But the Bible says she had spent all she had. But the Bible says that she had grew rather the worse. She was about to die. Look here, she couldn't go out in public. She couldn't have no company. She had no hope. Look here, she was about to die, and she was flat broke and at her end, wasn't she? That's what my Bible teaches. And you know, I've thought about that a lot. That a woman in that condition, listen, it must have took a lot of faith for her to fight through that crowd where she wasn't even supposed to be. What are you, a woman? What are you doing here, woman? I'm going to find the Lord. Look, I'm going to touch his garment, I'll be made whole. I can't touch him, he's holy, and he's righteous, and he's too good for me, but if I can touch his garment, I'll be all right. Is that what your Bible says? He was the right one for her. You know why? The Bible says that The Bible says that she came behind him in the press and touched the hem of his garment. And I've heard all that stuff about being turned up and pierced and all that and the finished work, and that's all good. But listen, I can tell you this, that the Bible says that the Lord turned and looked at her. He said, "Who touched me?" She said, "I did, Lord." You know what he said? He said that immediately that her blood was stanched. Listen, I'm glad I didn't get saved one day and get the Holy Ghost the next and get the rest of it the next. You know what I got? I got it immediately and all of it at one time. Ain't that right? Amen. Immediately. Here's one I like. He was the right one at the tomb of Lazarus, John 11. He was the right one. You say, why was he the right one at the tomb of Lazarus? Well, you know the story of Mary and Martha. The Bible says, and they loved him. I believe they loved the Lord. I believe Lazarus must have loved the Lord. You know, the Bible says that he was, go get the Lord, said, "My brother's sick. He's going to die." 3 days passed, and the Lord's still tired. He died. And he put him in the tomb, and the Lord come on the fourth day. Ain't that something? Lord, if you'd just been here, he would have died. Well, I like the fact that he waited till he was completely dead. It wouldn't have been no good if he'd been there. It wouldn't have been as much to them Jews if he'd have rose him on the third day as it would have on the fourth day. But the fourth day was significant. You all know all that. I don't have to tell you all that. Because them Jews believed that on the third day that he might have enough spirit in him, he might revive himself. You know what I mean? They didn't believe he was dead until after he'd been dead and started stinking. But the Bible said he's already begun stinking. Mary, you believe that I'm the resurrection? Yeah, I believe, Lord, that he'll be raised again at the last day. Yeah, I believe that. She said, "I'm the resurrection and the life." And I can just see this. Here's all them mourners in the house. They used to have wakes, didn't they? Old people used to die. You know what I mean? People died. They had set them up at the house, and you go to their house, and you sit there at their house for 2 or 3 days at a time. You remember that? That's what we did when I was little. When I was a kid, you know, when somebody died, we'd go to their house, didn't we? We didn't go to the funeral home. We went to their house, didn't we? Well, they'd take them to their house, and there the family would all gather in, and they'd mourn and cry and eat a lot, and they'd stay with them for a week or two, and finally it'd wear off, and everybody'd go home. Ain't that the way it used to be? Well, here they was, and I could see them people there, and they said, "Where's he at?" And so they took him out there to the grave there where he's at, and the Lord said, "Roll back that stone." Yeah, but you don't understand. He's not already stinking. He said, "Roll it back. Roll back that stone." So they rolled back that stone, and the Lord stood there at that tomb. He said, "Hey, Lazarus!" Said, "What he done?" He didn't do it like people go, "Lazarus." He didn't do it. He said, "Hey, Lazarus! Lazarus, come out there, stiff, all that mummy clothes on him. All them rags around him, loose him and let him go." You know why he was the right one there? Because he done the impossible. He could do the impossible. I heard about some idiot tried to tell me that when them preachers over there, I can tell you where he's at, some one of them high in the life churches or something or other, they said her pastor raised the dead. I said, "That's a fool." I said, "Get out of there." I said, "Get your family out of there." I said, "Look here." I said, "Get your family and get out of there." I said, "Don't go back." I said, "Don't even pull in the driveway no more." I said, "He's lying to you." I said, "She's a liar." I said, "She's a fool too." I said, "He didn't do it." But I can tell you that the Lord Jesus raised him from the dead. Ain't that right? I might throw this in right here. I'm going to go on here just a minute. But boy, he'd do us some good sometimes if we trust the Lord. Some of you here would trust the Lord just to do the impossible. Ain't that right? If he could do the impossible there, if he could raise a dead man and turn him loose, could he do something for you if you'd let him? You know what? You know the problem of it. You know what the problem of it is? We won't let him do nothing. We don't believe. Look here, I wouldn't do much for a bunch of people who made me out a liar anyhow. Would you? Look here, I know he done it back then, but he don't do stuff like that no more. I'm not talking about a bunch of foolishness. I'm talking about sin. Listen, what in your common, what in your daily life can you do really for anybody? You go around the church. I got to hurry. But listen, you go around the church. You take a prayer request. I go up there to that little church I've been preaching for on a Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Take a prayer request. And somebody over here say, I got a cousin over here with cancer, a sister over here dying. I got one needs saved. I got one. You know what? And all you can do really is listen in prayer requests and take them in, and you can get down and pray for them. You know what? They ain't really, when it comes down to it, ain't nothing I can do for none of them. I can't save their lost. I can't heal their sick. As a matter of fact, you know what? I can't even get, matter of fact, I can't even get them home safe. Be guaranteed I'll get them home safe to 100%. Are you? Matter of fact, I ain't even sure I'll get home safe. Lord could do the impossible if we put a little faith. Well, Jesus was the right one. Luke 24, verse 13, on Emmaus Road, Jesus was the one who brought some comfort and assurance to two disciples that were downtrodden. Peter done quit, and he said, I'm going fishing. He said, it's over with. He said, he's dead, buried. He said, I'm going fishing. How much time have I got? 3 minutes? He said, it's over with. I'm done. I don't know how about the rest of you preachers. A lot of you better preachers than I'll ever live to be. But you know what they mean? A lot of times I've come home Sunday afternoon with my Bible under my arm. And I said, if I know that anybody could call, I'd never go back there no more. Ain't you? I said, matter of fact, I'm fixing to tear up my phone and quit. And I'll listen to Dr. Charles with the rest of the heretics. You know what I mean? Look here. Listen, I'll listen to him on the way home. Look here, instead of going to the back out of that church and trying to help them people. Look here, they don't like preaching no help. What I'm telling you for, listen to me, is they were downtrodden, but the Bible says that he appeared to them there on the Emmaus Road, and he opened up the scripture to them, and the Bible says that their heart burned within him. Why? Because that they had spent some time with the Lord, and because he had come and spent some time with them. Ain't that right? Hey, I like it when the Lord spends time with me, don't you? I remember one night I was coming out of Hazard. I had been over at Whitesburg or somewhere over there preaching on a Sunday night, and I was wore out tired, and I didn't have what I thought was a lousy day. But I was coming out of Hazard over there and over them hills. You know how them hills over in Hazard were like this and down around them curves? And I'm telling you what, listen, I said, I'm had it, I'm wore out, and I got to listen to some little old gospel station and come over to Hazard out of there, and I could hear this woman saying, God walks the dark hills. And you know what? You're going to think I'm lying to you. Think I'm crazy. You don't think I'm crazy, do you? But it was just like, the Lord come and got in the car with me. It was just like the Lord come and got in the car with me over there. And you know what? He would have longed he had me picked up. You know what? I could have drove to Nashville, and he wouldn't have bothered me a bit. It was good. He helped me. He was the right one. The Lord was the right one. I would give you this. Let me tell you something. I could say this, that there is still the wrong one, the wrong Jesus. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I want to turn over and read this verse to you, because I don't believe it or quit just right. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Look over here. But I fear lest by any means the serpent beguile Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit which you have not received, or another gospel which you have not heard or not accepted, you might well bear with him. He warned, Paul warned there of another Jesus, of another spirit, and another gospel. There's a lot of people being deceived today by another Jesus. Ain't that right? Listen, the book of Acts chapter 20, repentance toward God in faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Is that salvation? Huh? Except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Ain't that what your Bible says? Everybody wants Jesus, but they don't want to repent. Ain't that right? It's another Jesus. He loves you like you are. He died to save me from what I was. No change. You got the wrong one. I ain't got time to preach that. You can go over and read that. Galatians chapter 1. Over there, Paul warned him again. He said over there, he said he was surprised, amazed that they were so sudden, so moved from the gospel. Do you know that? Listen. The right one, let me tell you what the right one will do. The wrong one, this easy believism stuff. I'm proving to you what I'm talking about here. I know what I'm talking about. I hired a boy to work for me. I frame houses for a living. So I hired this boy, and he said, I want to go to church with you. He found out I was a preacher, and sometimes that's a good thing. And you know what I mean? I don't run around with a t-shirt on says I'm a preacher. Look here, I don't have a bunch of Bible stickers on my car to prove I'm a preacher. Look here, you know what I'm saying? So he found out I was a preacher. He said, I want to go to church with you, preacher. I said, well, get in the car and let's go. So I picked him up on Sunday morning. He ain't got no car. I took him to church with me on Sunday morning on the way to church. He had him a perverted Bible. Here, a perverted Bible listen, if you get a perverted Bible, you get a perverted spirit. If you get a perverted spirit and a perverted Bible, you got a perverted salvation. You can take that for what you want. Listen, but he said, I'm new to the faith. And I know what he was talking about. I said, boy, I just love to hear about people getting saved. And I never said to him, I never told him he was fooled. I never told him he was wrong. I said, boy, I'm so glad to hear it. So I just took him to church with me. And on the way there, I never condemned him over his Bible. Never condemned him over before. I know where he was going over there. It was one of them, come as you are and leave as you come. Look here, flashing lights and all that on the wall. Look here, a bunch of foolishness. I said, I never condemned him over that, brother. But listen, I just been good to him. Took him to church, and it just so happened something was said about dying and going to hell that morning during my message. And we was going home, and he looked over at me. He said, you know what? He said, I ain't saved. I said, I thought you was new to... He said, no, he said, that preacher didn't explain to me like that. He said, all I had to do, he said, was come down here. He said, if you want to be saved, then all you have to do is come down here and stand in the front. And he said, so we all did. He said, a bunch of us could stand in front. He said, now repeat this after me. He said, so we repeated after him. He said, now you're saved. He took us and baptized us. He said, give us some literature. He said, and he told us we was all saved. He said, but I wasn't saved. It's another Jesus. It's another gospel. Do you know what the right one will do? It'll put you in the family of God. It'll make a new creature out of you. You'll walk different, talk different, act different. You'll stop your infirmities. It'll do the impossible. I'm done. Hey. Jesus is right.